This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. After a year of feuding and mounting lawsuits, two pro golf tours are merging. CBS Sports golf writer Patrick McDonald tells us, as part of this agreement, the PGA and LIV will drop all litigation.
LIV Golf wanted to merge with the PGA Tour. The PGA Tour certainly did not want to merge with LIV Golf, but they realized that this entity was going nowhere, that they had bottomless pockets. So I think at the end of the day, Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour board members realized that this could be a win-win for them.
The group claims this will unify the game of golf globally and expand their businesses. In Washington, the House Oversight Committee is hearing testimony today on staffing shortages at the southern border. Homeland Security Inspector General Joseph Ghaffari.
Despite greater workloads, staffing levels of both agencies have remained relatively flat. CBP and ICE have relied on the use of temporary duty assignments, overtime, shift work.
The shortages continue weeks after Title 42 expired, causing an influx of migrants seeking asylum at the border. Ukraine has now blamed Russia for blowing up a major dam and power station, forcing the evacuations of thousands of people. CBS's Deborah Pata has details from Kharkiv.
The blast smashed through the dam wall. Water from the Dnipro River is now gushing downstream in the direction of the southern city of Kherson, raising fears of massive flooding in low-lying areas, forcing some residents to evacuate. Everything is getting wiped out on the way, said this man.
European leaders are calling the dam's destruction a war crime. Prince Harry has started testifying in a phone hacking trial before Britain's High Court.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Prince Harry has been testifying that media intrusion from childhood onward left him deeply traumatized, unable to trust people he thought must be selling private information about him to the tabloids.
Protesters are back out in France protesting the government's new pension plans.
Unpopular pension reforms have now become law and will come into effect in September. But for the tens of thousands on the streets of France today, that's not a reason to stop protesting, as the retirement age has been raised to 64, and French workers will have to put in 43 years on the job before they can quit on a full pension. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
The voice behind that huge 1960s hit and bossa nova classic has died. Brazilian singer Astrud Gilberto lent her voice to the wistful ballad, The Girl from Ipanema. It won the Grammy for Record of the Year back in 1965. Gilberto was 83. This is CBS News.
There are over 10,000 reasons why steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot. There are over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot trademarks of their respective companies.
Progressive presents, find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Hundreds of veterans were misdiagnosed at the Toma VA Medical Center. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. VA Secretary Dennis McDonough was in Toma yesterday. He says the issue is a top priority for the Veterans Agency.
I promised you that this is a top priority for us, and we're going to stay on top of it, and we won't rest until we get you the care and the benefits, not only that you deserve, but that you have earned.
The VA says about 600 veterans have been misdiagnosed, and the number might get higher. About two dozen Wisconsin counties are under an air quality alert. Brown, Eau Claire, and Taylor counties in particular are under a red air quality warning. The Department of Natural Resources says that means the air is unhealthy, even for healthy people and non-sensitive groups. Most of southeast Wisconsin is also covered by the advisory, but to a lesser extent. Wisconsin state government is having a hard time holding on to workers. That's according to a new report on turnover and vacancy rates at Wisconsin state agencies. Luke Mathers reports.
A new report out of the Wisconsin Policy Forum this morning shows that turnover and vacancy rates among state employees were close to the highest the state has ever seen last fiscal year. The report points to record low unemployment and an aging workforce in Wisconsin for indicators of near record turnover and vacancy rates. Wisconsin reported an unemployment rate of 2.4% during the month of April 2023. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
In spite of that, Wisconsin's Attorney General is asking for more workers for the state crime lab today. Josh Call says he wants 16 new people and millions of dollars more in order to keep up with the crime lab's workload. Among the new hires would be 10 new DNA analysts. Leading Republican lawmakers have told Call his agency already has plenty of money. There's a new effort to fight election misinformation in Wisconsin and build voter trust. Melissa Kay reports.
Keep Our Republic is a national bipartisan group trying to improve trust in elections across the United States. It just opened operations in Wisconsin. Former State Senator Kathy Bernier will lead the Wisconsin chapter. She's also a former local elections clerk. She says Wisconsin has been a hotbed of misinformation. Her group will work to teach voters about how voting in Wisconsin works and why the process is secure and trustworthy. Keep Our Republic's advisory council is bipartisan, including former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson and former Democratic Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Speaking of elections, Wisconsin Democrats are gearing up for next year's campaigns this weekend. The state party convention will be in Green Bay. Democrats will talk about making inroads in rural Wisconsin, where Republicans dominate politics. Christy Welch is the chair of the Brown County Democratic Party.
The Democratic Party has the best interests of rural voters in mind. I mean, we're fighting for clean water, good education, expanding broadband.
Welch was speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski tells the Public Affairs Network that Democrats have better ideas for addressing Wisconsin's labor shortage.
We can't find workers because we haven't been able to solve the child care crisis. Parents want to go to work, but if they don't have a place to send their kids, what are they supposed to do?
More than 1,000 people are expected at Green Bay's Radisson Hotel and Center. Wisconsin's new driver's licenses have some new security features, including artwork designed to make the cards harder to counterfeit. You can choose from regular IDs and real IDs license options. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News time is 12:07.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. The identity of the 17-year-old boy found dead in a crashed-out car in Milwaukee's tow lot has been released by his mother. James Stokes was discovered yesterday in a stolen SUV that had been towed last Thursday. The SUV had crashed into a tree and a 16-year-old boy who was driving was arrested. It's not clear why it took 4 days to make the discovery. There won't be a bond reduction for a Racine man charged with shooting and killing a 14-year-old last year. Attorneys for Kershawn Clemens this morning wanted bond lowered from $500,000 to $100,000. That was denied. He's accused of shooting and killing Eugene Henderson in March of last year. In a 10-7 vote last night, the Kenosha City Council decided to revise the city's fine system for minor marijuana offenses. The effort was led by Alderman David Mao.
Knocking doors during my campaign, it became very clear to me that this was an important issue for the citizens that I was talking to.
Starting in September, first-time offenders with small amounts of marijuana will receive a $1 citation. If found with more than 25 grams, the case will be sent to the DA's office. On Sunday, Kenosha County authorities arrested a 27-year-old suspect believed to have been involved in the homicide of a 1-year-old. Zaire Nevels was shot and killed last Saturday outside of a library during an argument among adults. A plea deal has been accepted that will likely see a retired Racine County Sheriff's Sergeant serving jail time. 59-year-old David Coughlin had been charged with theft in a business setting, accused of stealing union funds. The plea could include 4 years probation and a year of conditional jail time. Milwaukee County's Lake Michigan beaches will operate again without lifeguards. The parks still need over 100 more guards to be fully staffed. The Parks Department in Milwaukee has started what they call a beach ambassadors program instead. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Enjoying the cool down and much-needed rain? Showers and storms rolled through the central portion of the state earlier today along the cold front, dropping nearly a half an inch of much-needed rain in some areas. As the precipitation winds down, most of us will be stuck under a cloudier day than we've been used to recently, alongside much cooler air that has moved in, giving us highs across the state in the 70s. With winds out of the east and off of Lake Michigan, lakeshore towns are feeling the chill of the upper 60s off of the water. Some heat and humidity will still linger by La Crosse, the Mississippi Valley, and southward into Janesville, with the potential for some 80-degree temps. This also poses the chances for more showers and storms to fire up there late this afternoon, with a tenth to a quarter of an inch of rain to accumulate. isolate. None are expected to be severe and will move southward across the state line during the evening hours. And don't worry, the sunshine will return tomorrow alongside seasonable temperatures. Have a terrific Tuesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A new chapter for the Milwaukee Bucks begins today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks will officially announce Adrian Griffin as the team's new head coach. Griffin signing a multi-year deal worth around $4 million per year. He's been an assistant coach in Oklahoma City, Orlando, and Chicago, and he actually started his coaching career on the staff in Milwaukee when Scott Stiles was the Bucks head coach in 2008. Before that, Griffin had a 9-year career as a player in the NBA. He's being formally introduced today at a press conference in the Deer District. Bucks GM John Horson coming up short in the playoffs this year and where he goes from here.
When you lose theoretically because you weren't good enough offensively, you react offensively. If you lose because you're not good enough defensively, you react defensively. I think our job is to stay balanced, stay in the pocket, understand that being great offensively and defensively, having players that fit around Giannis, that fit coach's system, is the most important in figuring out what are the specific skill sets that will give us the returns we need in a tough playoff series.
Baseball. The Brewers were going for the sweep last night in Cincinnati, but pitcher Andrew Abbott held the crew to just one run in six innings, striking out six batters as the Reds beat the Brewers 2-0 at Great American Ballpark. Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
We did a nice job in the first inning making them work. We did a nice job in the second inning. Obviously, the two strikeouts down that inning were big, and then he was efficient after that, and you know we didn't get any hits.
So the Brewers open a 3-game home series tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. Game time 6:40 at American Family Field. Hockey, the Milwaukee Admirals season ended last night with a 4-3 loss on the road to Coachella Valley. The Firebirds won the series 4-2. They now advance to the Calder Cup Series. NHL, the Vegas Golden Knights beat Florida 7-2 to go up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals. So far, Vegas has had 9 different players score goals in the series, the most in NHL history. NCAA former Badgers running back Monty Ball is a candidate for the College Football Hall of Fame. Ball rushed for over 5,000 yards in his 4 years for Wisconsin and set a school record of 77 career touchdowns. He'll be inducted into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame this fall. NFL OTAs resume in Green Bay, where they'll be working on special teams. Coordinator and now assistant head coach Rich Bisaccia on what he sees in rookie place kicker Anders Carlson, drafted in the 6th round this spring.
He's had the ups and downs a little bit through college, but he's been there 6 years. You know, he stayed when he could have tried to come out, but I look at the makeup of the person. I think he's a strong mental makeup person. I think he's been his best regardless of the circumstance. He's been in a lot of big games. He's kicked in a lot of different situations in the SEC. He's kicked in many bowl games, so I love his body structure and the power that he has and the ability to get stronger and the ability to self-correct, I think, is a little bit of a family trait right now that we're seeing from him. We're excited about where he's going to go forward.
Last week, we told you that Mason Crosby has sold his home in Green Bay for $1.2 million. That's sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Walpole Pawn area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the KreipsCast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will be driving the talking points of the day. I am William Walter, joined today by my good friend Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing on this lovely Tuesday, June 6th afternoon?
Yeah, we're doing well, Will. We got a little precipitation going on here in Wisconsin, or at least in Madison, so we're getting some much-needed rain with how dry it's been the last couple days. So.
It is about time. I could use some of that. If you want to shift that my way, I feel like I've been sending you warm weather for the past six months.
You got it, man.
The least you can do is return the favor. So I also want to get...
How are you doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I'm doing even better because now I get to give a shout out to my lovely mother. Happy birthday, Mom. We're going to not tell anybody that her birthday is 6-6 because I have
though.
Received... Well, no, good point. I don't like to kind of bring it up because she always, you know, makes jokes about it. And in reality, she is the absolute sweetest human being I have ever met. And it's ironic that that is the date that she happened to be born because it just makes for a good conversation starter, I guess. So we're going to be jumping into... Did you have something to contribute, Luke?
I just had on a birthday for today. A good friend of mine growing up in middle school had his same birthday, 6-6. And when we were in sixth grade, it was 6-6-2006. And mm-hmm. there was a lot of questions of what was going to happen that day. And he's still doing well today. So not the case that it was ever a problem. But I had a friend that had the 6-6 on 2006 in sixth grade birthday. And that was a weird one.
Wait till he turns 66. That's when it's going to really get wild. So, big news story of the day, Luke, that I want to touch on because it is near and dear to my heart for a number of reasons. Coming out of my neck of the woods, Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Article from Wisconsin Public Radio by Corey Hess. Menominee Falls residents worried about future of community library. Emails show village trustees have discussed closing the public library. And getting two shout outs in the day. You know, my mother works for a public library. Public libraries are in a lot of ways the staple of many communities, not just from a, access to the internet, access to books and resources that might not be provided elsewhere, but tons and tons and tons of people use public libraries. To cite a little bit of the data that I dug up from 2019 on Menominee Falls Library itself, library visits for the year, 180,750 people visit the Menominee Falls Library. 14,815 uses of public internet computers with 23,300 wireless internet users. That's not even touching on the programs, of which they had 350 children's programs with 12,452 children attending those programs. They had 64 young adult programs with 538 young adults attending and 184 other programs with 2,911 total attendance. Again, I will reiterate this, Luke. Public libraries are the center of many communities, and we are seeing in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, as recently as, you know, last night, that dozens of residents are pleading with the village board to not close or stop funding the public library after learning trustees discussed a possible closure. Trustees, of course, denied the Menominee Falls Public Library is in danger, but a recent $250,000 funding cut to the library's budget, the ousting of three library board members, and comment that Menominee Falls residents are, quote, affluent and can buy their own books, unquote, paint a different picture. This statement was made by Brad I believe it's Juber, the village board representative on the library board. The group made the request, made a request to learn about his feelings through an open records request made by Grassroots Menominee Falls after the village board voted 6-1 on May 15th to remove Peggy House, Ian Dickman, and James Hayden from the library board without discussion. Luke, I'd like to pose the question today to our listeners. What has a public library done for you? How has public libraries directly impacted your life? What influence has a public library had on you? Please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We have a couple of very interested participants that want to join us today to discuss public library influence on their life. First, we have Andrea from Menominee Falls calling in about the public library. Andrea, how are you doing this Tuesday afternoon?
Well, I got to tell you, my blood is boiling this morning.
Over the Menominee Falls library information?
Absolutely. You know, I've grown up in the library system for as long as I can remember. I've got family in the library system, and my first job was in working in the library. It's one of the few spaces where you're not expected to pay money to be there. It doesn't matter how much money you make. Just because you're part of the community, you belong there.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think other people in Menominee Falls, have you heard the opinion of other residents that may be for or against the closure of the library?
I've only heard people who are against the closure of the library. I think we're all in shock. We're still trying to gather our thoughts at how this could even be a possibility.
And that shouldn't surprise me. I mean, data shows that public libraries are incredibly popular. For a lot of people, they're the third space, right? You have home, you have work. But we don't really have a lot of opportunities for individuals to get out of the house and just go somewhere to do something productive. And the library is one of the very few places where, like you said, there's no expectations. You don't have to pay your way to get in. You don't have to worry about whether or not there's going to be space for you or ample opportunity to do or say what you want to do. The library is the place where you can just go to learn, where you can go to spend time, where you can go to better yourself as a human being and as a member of your community. Obviously, Andrea, I live in Germantown, so I'm quite familiar with the Menominee Falls Library as well. I have been at the Falls Library for numerous different organized events, training opportunities, anything where you need a public space and you want people to be able to come and share time together, there is no place better than the public library. Could you go into a little more depth as to why you think Menominee Falls might be taking this approach? We heard from the village trustee that Menominee Falls residents are, you know, too affluent. They can buy their own books, which frankly is disgusting. But is this an issue that you see being raised going forward?
You know, I have some suspicions. I think that libraries, since they're a protected space, they offer information about a lot of topics that some people in this country find harmful. What I do think is harmful is preventing people from having these opportunities to access information about everything, access information about other cultures, access information about people from different backgrounds. And I think, frankly, they just want to create this facade that there's only one right way to be, one religion, one gender, maybe only two genders to, you know, live in this world. But, what they're really creating is they're making it so that people are just afraid of what they don't know. And so if you hide away all this information, there's a lot that seems scary that they don't know about. You know, I would just like to echo too about this whole, we can afford all our own books. I mean, my own library receipt says that I've saved thousands of dollars by using my library, and it's only June, so thousands of dollars I've saved by just getting books from the library versus having to buy books.
Yeah, Andrea,
for itself.
I can confirm in my household, my fiance, she rents a library book probably every 2 days. She is a avid supporter of our local public library. She saves so much money on the fact that she can go and check out a book. She's got probably a dozen or so different holds waiting, because she reads very quickly. She's got a lot of ability to read. She runs a lot of different programs where she has to sit and wait, and so as those at her job, and she's happy to be able to kill some of that time while reading then. And so she reads a lot. She's an avid reader, and I would say that we've probably saved thousands as well, not having to check out those books. But it's just a cornerstone of the community, and it's crazy to think Menominee Falls is possibly going to do away with theirs.
Yeah, and I just want to like touch more on all the things that the library has done. You know, they offer tax forms, resume help, computer help, which is huge for people in our community who don't have access to printers or fax machines. I mean, how many jobs and college applications do they ask for faxed paperwork? And nobody has a fax machine. Nobody in my generation has a printer anymore. And why would you? You have a library that you have access to because you live in a community that has a library. I also want to talk more about, too, in the pandemic, my job switched to remote work, and I kind of felt myself, becoming a shell of myself and really needing to get out in the community more. And I found myself at the library, just working in a space where I'm surrounded by people in my community, and, you know, how that was such a game changer for my mental health and my productivity. And, you know, even after the pandemic too, the library got rid of all of people's overdue fines. So the library has shown up for our community time and time again. I just think that this is unfathomable that they would take that away from us.
I think you made a really good point before too, Andrea, that by restricting access to information, I think it's a lot easier to manipulate and control a large percentage of the population. And outside of the internet, you know, the library has always been the go-to location for, you know, acquiring new information. If you have a question that can't be answered, where do you go? You go to the library, you look it up, you research it. And having these public spaces where individuals had the ability to do so, to be able to answer their own questions without having to defer to, someone in authority or someone who might want to mislead you or give you an answer that might not be completely accurate, it's absolutely invaluable. I think I'd like to touch quick on a quote from Ian Dickman, who was one of the removed members of the library board without discussion. He said he believes one of the main reasons his reappointment to the board was rejected is because the current village trustees are planning to cut library funding, and they continue to hold a grudge about how the library was operated during the 2020 and early 2021 months of the pandemic. Andrea, you touched on how important the library was for you personally within the pandemic. It seems that the village board disagrees. Ian said, quote, "Ultimately, I believe the village board plans to replace all members of the library board and appoint their own figureheads. That's why they haven't publicized the library board openings. I believe they will cut library funds, setting our library director up to fail, and blame the library director when the library is unable to meet county standards." This is absolutely grotesque. Andrea, I got a couple more questions for you if you're able to stay on after the break. Thank you so much for joining us. We're discussing the importance of public libraries, particularly regarding Menominee Falls right now. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. We will be right back after the break.
844-967-2789.
CBS News Brief. The PGA and European tours are merging with Saudi-backed LIV Golf. CBS Sports golf writer Patrick McDonald tells us this move means both sides are dropping their lawsuits.
They're all going to operate normally, but what it means is behind the scenes, they're all kind of in bed together. Everyone's shaking hands.
Ukraine has accused Russia of destroying a major dam that's now forced about 17,000 people to evacuate. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba.
Russia will be held accountable for the destruction of the Kakhovka Dam and other crimes.
Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie plans to announce he's jumping into the 2024 presidential race tonight. Here's CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Remember, Christie was once a Trump ally and advisor, but now he's trying to set himself apart from the rest of the field as one of the toughest Trump critics in the race.
Former Vice President Mike Pence will announce his bid tomorrow in Iowa. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Hey folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had five or six beers and only one fish.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A Cameron man is in custody after allegedly stabbing his mother in the neck on Monday. The Barron County Sheriff's Office said 30-year-old Michael Townsend was arrested Monday morning after his 54-year-old mother called 911. She told law enforcement that her son stabbed her in the neck. The woman was flown to a hospital in Eau Claire with serious injuries. Michael Townsend is in custody in the Barron County Jail. The La Crosse Regional Airport is down to one regular service provider. Delta Airlines is no longer serving La Crosse, leaving American Airlines as the only carrier. Delta said staffing and logistics were the reason for ending its service to La Crosse as of Sunday. And airport officials said that they will work to bring in other airlines with Delta's departure. And the opening of the Chippewa Falls Outdoor Public Pool is being delayed due to maintenance issues. The city's Parks and Rec Department said on Monday that the pool was scheduled to open on Friday. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop, located at 520 State Street in Madison. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Town Call with William Butterfly Walter and Luke Mathers.
I can go twice as high.
I can't believe you stepped on the song, though, man.
I wanted to be able to sing the Reading Rainbow part. That's if I'm being brutally honest. Reading Rainbow. Anyways, we're talking libraries today. Public libraries, what have they done for your life? How have they impacted you? Give us a call if you'd like to contribute. 844-967-2789. We're talking to Andrea in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Andrea, what's going on? Was there anything else that you wanted to add to the library? You've mentioned numerous ways that the library has directly impacted and improved your life. Is there any last anything else that you want to add to the listeners at home to understand just how impactful this can be?
I think this is going to be really detrimental to the youth of our ages, and I think it's pretty awful and unfortunately inevitable that this culture war was going to extend into our public spaces.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. We got a couple more callers on the line that want to contribute. We have Kim from Stoughton. Kim, what are your thoughts on the upcoming library plans to potentially shutter the Menominee Falls Library?
Well, I find that just almost impossible to believe
I guess I'm coming there maybe to support your previous call a little bit, or a lot actually, but I grew up in rural Sauk County. I'm 74 years old, and we were out in the country. I literally grew up in a house without indoor plumbing, and we went to a one-room school. I sound like an old geezer, I know. But Sauk County, the Reedsburg area, they had a public library. They had a bookmobile. They came there. There were five kids in our family, and we just lived on having books delivered every 2 weeks by the bookmobile. And when you did go to town or when you got into high school and so on, you could go either to the public library or to the school library and get information and access to books that we just would not have. But to me, the Menominee Falls situation sounds like the old, I'll pick on the Republicans a little bit. I've got mine, you know, I don't care about you. I mean, if it weren't for people who, you know, gave a darn, that were willing to pay for a library, us poor farm kids, I mean, we'd have been left out in the cold. And now even today, I live out by Stoughton, a couple miles out in the country. We do not get decent internet access. I can't tell you, we've been out here like 38 years. We go to the public library in Stoughton all the time for internet access to print off, like you said, an application or a form or a confirmation. We tried to book an airline flight some years ago, and we had dial-up back in those days. You had to go to the library for internet access to be able to do something like that. I just find it unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable.
Agreed completely. I'd like to hear, do we have Jeannie from Eau Claire still on the line as well? Jeannie, would you like to contribute to the library conversation?
Oh, sure. Thank you very much. Yeah, definitely. This is an awful thing happening, and I think people really need to educate the public as fast as they can. I don't think a lot of people get newspapers like they used to. And then there's a lot of us that are older that are not real tech savvy. So a lot of them don't have, you know, internet skills or don't have internet because it's really poor in our areas. And what people need to do is start organizing, have phone places where people can call in, organize people to write letters or sign petitions, and educate the public that they could lose this wonderful resource. I think it's outrageous. It almost happened in the community I used to live in, and people were up in arms, and they called, and they said, no way, you're not taking away this valuable resource that we pool our taxes together for, so that we can gather, we can gain knowledge, and we can utilize together, you know, because we're not all wealthy. And we pool our resources so that we can share this type of thing. And also people congregate and share ideas. Yes, fight back. Fight back. This is horrifying. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Jeannie, I do ask that you stay on the line because I'd love to have you continue contributing to the call. We have Mark from Prairie du Sac on as well. Mark, what do you have to say about the library conundrum going on in Menominee Falls right now?
Well, I think it's pretty disgusting. I have fond memories of the library up in Superior, Wisconsin, you know, just north of where I grew up in rural northern Wisconsin there. Carnegie Library, where you walk downstairs, they had a children's section down there. I can remember the aquarium down there with a little ceramic dinosaur that would open its mouth every time and let loose a bubble of air. But I can remember, you know, checking out the books there and, you know, love of reading that, you know, inspired me when I was a kid. I mean, when I was, you know, I was, you know, because I was such a avid reader, I mean, I was reading at high school level by the time I left sixth grade. Especially, you know, I wasn't limited to the kind of books I could actually get. And I mean, and this is just another, it seems to me that they want to, that they got some burr under their blanket that apparently over the whole COVID thing may have started it. But I think there's just a animosity toward liberal education, and liberal, I don't mean liberal ideology, I mean just liberal as far as a real open ideology and what, you know, open access to,
right, it's not
all sorts, open-minded.
There's no gatekeeper there at a library, Mark. You're able to go and you have help from, you can get aided by a librarian, but there's no saying that you can or cannot read this. It's there. It's for the public use. You can go, and that's what you mean by it, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean by that. I think it was I can't remember how young I was when we actually learned the Dewey Decimal System, which, of course, they don't use anymore in most of the libraries. But I can remember, you know, that they considered libraries such a valuable resource, teaching school kids the Dewey Decimal System and how that worked so you could look up books in the library. I mean, it just, go to the card catalog and you could look up, you know, where do I find this book? Where is this book shelved in the various libraries? I mean, it is just, and it was actually a Carnegie library, I think, that, you know, that Andrew Carnegie, you know, for all his faults, that when he, you know, left his legacy, I mean, he left a legacy of libraries across the country. I mean, he considered it so important that everybody have access to literature and history and books on science and all this. I think there is just an animosity on the part of some that knowledge is something that they should be able to control, and that it's horrible. I mean, it is just the library is not that big of a cost to the community that they can, you know, claim that. But I think it's just a matter of they want to control what people read and what they see and what they think. And it's
I don't even think the cost mark is the problem here. The cost isn't the concern. The sentiment, at least reported in this WPR article, is that, well, they have more than enough money. The cost isn't the concern of the library. It's the fact that
these are affluent citizens.
Yeah, they don't necessarily need the library because they have so much resources.
But not everybody in the community is affluent and has access to what the people who are affluent in that community have. And this, the library is an equalizer in that case, you know, that people have access to, I assume they have computers at the library and other assets that the library offers. And if people of modest and less than modest means are able to access resources that everybody else can access.
That's a good point, Mark. That reminds me, actually, do we still have Andrea on the line? Andrea, you touched on something essentially that fits the point that Mark just made, that and Mark is noting that in, you know, more rural communities, how important the library was. Menominee Falls isn't exactly a rural community. This is about as suburban as you can get. But particularly younger people are still using the library all the time for things like faxes, for things like resumes, for their outside of just checking out books. There are so many other opportunities to use the library.
Yes, absolutely. They have after-school programs. They have a study lounge that provides a quiet place for students to warm up some after-school snacks, vending machines, lots of computers to use. They have puzzles. They have just a space for kids to hang out with each other, and kind of keeping them out of trouble, essentially.
That's an awesome point.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
we hear that a lot from older, we'll say wealthier or middle class and above type individuals in these suburban communities that are worried about children getting into trouble. They don't have activities to do. We don't want them going around messing around in the community. Why don't they play sports? Why don't they, you know, X, Y, and Z? Well, where do you want them to go? We don't have a ton of green space anymore. We don't have the ability to go outside and spend your time hanging out with your friends. The library is about the healthiest avenue I can imagine. That's where I would want my hypothetical child to
That's where I used to go. Like, if I needed to wait for a ride after school, or if I had an extracurricular activity that ended at a weird time and my folks couldn't come and pick me up, like, the library was the go-to destination. It was where you could still go. You had access to do your homework. You could find a book to entertain yourself. It was it's a cornerstone of our communities. They have the summer programs. Aaron and I, our excellent producer Aaron, we're talking about this in getting ready for today's show, is that every summer, if you read an X number amount of books, Pizza Hut always gave you the free pizza.
Yeah,
and that was just
that.
And
that's
more,
baby,
I was saying, that's
right
a
there.
More fun aspect of it, but like, that's absolutely what it was as well. It was, you would go, you'd read 10 books, 20 books throughout the summer, and then boom, you got yourself a free pizza too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
I know I always maxed out those pizzas, as many as you could get, and I like things like that, aside from the fact that I just loved reading as a kid, that just helped add some extra incentive to where, like, my mom would ground me from reading sometimes because I wouldn't go to sleep. And I wouldn't be doing that if it weren't for the library. I'd go there all the time. And they had some other programs where if you read enough books, you could get a book, or funky bookmarks or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from that, I also just have a lot of friends who spent a lot of time at the library to get away from a bad home situation. Since, as everyone's saying, it's an equal space that you don't have to pay to be.
Yeah, it's a resource that folks in those circumstances would absolutely use, Aaron.
And I'll touch on a quote from the WPR article as well from William Gottmuller, who's a graduating senior at Menominee Falls High School. His home internet connection gave out while doing college interviews, so he needed the library. He now has a full scholarship to Harvard. Quote, "The library has more uses than just books. We use it. Retirees use it. I go there after school to do my homework, and there are so many people there. I can hardly find an office. It's abominable. You are even considering closing it." We've heard from Andrea. We've heard this quote from William. Young people clearly care. We've heard from Jeannie and Mark that some of our more older residents clearly care about the library. This is I can't understand why you would take this route when libraries are so incredibly, incredibly popular with all citizens across all demographics. If you have a library story you'd like to share with us, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We have Troy on the line as well. Troy, do you have a library story you'd like to contribute to Town Call today?
Well, I was just wondering if this is in my community in Mount Horeb, the library is a polling place. And I'm wondering if in Menominee Falls, if they use it as a polling place too. And if, I don't know the demographics of their board, but if that's part of what they're going for too.
That's a great question, Troy. Andrea, do you know if the Menominee Falls Library is a polling place? I probably should, being so close, but I do not know. I will try to find that right now.
Yes, it is used as a polling place.
Yep.
There you go.
So that's an excellent point, Troy.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what Republicans are doing. And, again, I don't know the demographics of their board, but that's what the Republicans are doing, is trying to make it harder to vote. And, you know, maybe that's not a main function or a main point of theirs, or maybe it is, and they're just not saying it. But, you know, it could be a secondary point of theirs, too, and another reason for them to want to get rid of it, just to be able to close down a polling place.
Yes.
That's a really good point, Troy. We see, you know, I had numbers from Menominee Falls in 2019 that I got from the Wisconsin, what was the, let me get the information right here, Wisconsin's Public Library Program database, but the WPR article has 2022 numbers stating that the library averaged 474 visitors each and every day, offering 449 programs with 10,100 attendees and 21,000 reference questions answered. Again, we can keep throwing numbers at you, but it is evident that the libraries are incredibly, incredibly popular. And I hope we can continue to touch on how important these libraries are for the community. Give us a call if you have a library story to share with us. 844-967-2789. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. We'll see you right after the break.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. We're talking libraries today. What have they done to impact your life? Please give us a call if you have a library story you want to share with us. 844-967-2789. Again, that's 844-967-2789. We're talking with Jeannie and Andrea today. Andrea is in Menominee Falls and has given us firsthand experience as to why and how this library has impacted her life. Jeannie, do you have any more library stories you'd like to contribute? How, in living in more rural communities, how does the library really make your life easier?
Well, I lived in, you know, in a more populated area most of my life, and then recently moved to a rural area. But, you know, as a child and as an adult throughout my life, I love the library because you know what it did? It sparked curiosity, creativity, and all the areas of knowledge that I didn't know about. By just seeing all the variety of books, and pretty soon when I go home, I'd have a like 10 books in my arms because, boy, I want to learn more about this, or maybe I can do this, or, you know, I don't know about this area. And it has so many areas that we don't have access to anywhere else, even law, or politics, or organization, or government, or dogs, or building something. I mean, it hits all areas, and it's, you know, I mean, I think this is a horrifying thing to do this to the people. It's just plain outrageous. Thank you.
I couldn't agree more, Jeannie. Luke, you had an interesting analogy that you came up with earlier when we were doing some prep for the show. Would you like to share that?
Well, the first thing, Will, that just came to my mind when I saw this story starting, Corey Hess over at Wisconsin Public Radio was sharing out the start of this story last night, and the first place that my mind went was this feels eerily similar to how back in 2021, the Waukesha School Board decided to be one of the only school districts in the entire nation, not just the state of Wisconsin, but the entire nation, to reject the federal school lunch funding that was coming to the community, school districts across the country. And they wanted to reject it. They turned it away. They said, we don't need that. Our students in Waukesha schools, they're well off enough. We don't need it. And then they had to go in reverse course on that decision, Will, because they found out how many Waukesha school district students actually required and needed that assistance throughout the pandemic. And so it feels just very similar. And the communities of Menominee Falls and Waukesha, I grew up in southeastern Wisconsin, I feel are pretty similar. And it's just it's a vibe that I'm getting from these stories that there are well-off people on these library boards, these school boards, these village boards saying, oh, well, we can do away with this because I don't need it. And to me, it's just a very out of touch position to take when you don't, when as you've pointed out the statistics, Will, people are using the library. We know that there are kids in Waukesha School District, in the Waukesha School District, that would have gone hungry throughout the pandemic if not for that federal assistance. If you look into an issue and educate yourself a little bit about it, you can see that these programs are vital and that they are used by our residents. And I don't understand why somebody can take the position of, well, we're well off enough, so we don't need this as a community. When, as we've pointed out, there's so many different things. It's a polling location, and it's a third space that people can go to and live with zero expectations. It is a cornerstone of our communities, and it's crazy to see that anybody would try to do away with their public library.
Well, the disconnect is astounding. You kind of noted that. It does feel like These are elected officials and wealthy members of the community that are unable to, you know, see any far. What's the analogy? They can't see past their own nose. They only understand what's going on in their life. They can't comprehend that other people might have different situations that they're suffering from. And it's not exactly, I'll use the school lunch example. That's not something people are proud of. You're not going to be advertising that you're on assisted lunch programs. I know when I was younger, that was not something that a kid was, you know, excited to go talk about, right? It's kind of, a lot of people feel a little bit ashamed because maybe it's the brain out of American capitalism. I don't know. That's a story for a different day. But when you don't have access to these funds, you're not going to make it obvious that you can't afford to do these kind of things. So these type of programs were invaluable to help protect those who needed the help elsewhere. I can't help but laugh at the idea, particularly regarding libraries. Like, imagine if libraries didn't exist today and someone suggested it. The wealthy would be up in arms. What do you mean we'd offer free internet, free books?
We're
free...
subsidizing somebody else's We're reading
subsidizing
habits?
Subsidizing somebody else's yeah. education and reading habits? Ew, that's socialism. But the data shows that libraries are incredibly, incredibly, incredibly popular. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. If you have a, if you'd like to contribute to our library story, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. We have Karina from MKE on the line. Karina, do you have a library story you'd like to share with us?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. People are unreasonable because in a different level of, you know, the how wealthy, I guess, you are, because you don't see it, like, you know, coming. Well, look how many houses is on sale. Go ahead and buy one. Excuse me? What do you mean, go ahead and buy one? What do you mean? Oh, you don't need a breakfast at school. You always can go ahead and, you know, run across the street to the gas station. Well, I need money for it. I have to leave the school. But it's not all about that for me. Although it's important that the people are not realistic of who live around them. It's a control tool. If I, as a mother, don't want to have any friends for my child who would be in the lesser standing, wouldn't be able to afford or have an education or toys or whatever you're talking about, what would make it lesser, then I don't want those people around my child. So this is what's happening. I will make it impossible so those people who are poorer or less fortunate to live around me. Let poor people live in the poor area and use federal resources for their schools and libraries and everything like that. But since we can't do it, we won't have that population around us. And this is
I think they're doing a really good job creating an us versus them, particularly in regards to library. I do want to end with one quote from the WPR article from trustee Steve Taggart, who said that the $8.7 million that the library estimated it saves patrons, which we know it did. We just talked to Andrea, who showed how many thousands of dollars she has saved in only 6 months. He said that the materials are paid for by taxpayers. You rent and return them. They're not zeroing out when they're returned. It's dishonest to act like this really nice gift the taxpayers gave the library is saving money. Again, the library is a service. It's not a gift. This is gross. I can't understand it. This is Town Call with William and Luke. We're going to see you tomorrow. Please give us a call if you want to participate in our town hall discussion. Thank you to everybody who called in today to talk about the library. We hope to see you again soon. 844-967-2789. Have a great rest of your day.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.